Welcome back to Sales Transformation. In this episode, Colin Mitchell is joined by Jason Wogo, a nine-figure advertiser, to discuss his journey from culinary school to building a successful agency. Colin, the floor is yours.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Sales Transformation brought to you by Leadium. I am your host, Colin Mitchell, and today I've got Jason Wojo on today. He's a nine-figure advertiser. He is the CEO and founder of Wojo Media and works with some of the biggest influencers on the internet. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of background. You weren't always a nine-figure advertiser and working with the largest influencers on the internet. So kind of, you know, where did it all start for you and how did you get into what you do today?
Yeah. So about 6 years ago, I was in culinary school. Kind of a weird part of my life. I was in culinary school. I was trying to figure out what I want to do in my life. I was originally working at a restaurant when I was in high school. And I didn't really have enough self-awareness. So my boss was like, hey, you should just go to culinary school. Like, you're already good at cooking, might as well. So I decided to do that. I realized that I hated it. I was in upstate New York. So it always, like, when it snowed, it really came down. And one day I was shoveling like my car out of the driveway there. And I found these box of Pokemon cards in my back trunk. And when I found these Pokemon cards, I was like, oh, like, you know, maybe they're valuable, maybe they're not. I'm curious because I didn't really have much money when I was in college. My dad gave me like $80 every month just to like live off of. He picked this weird number. I don't understand how he came up with $80. But yeah, I mean, that's not really enough to live off of. So, you know, I had like stamps and stuff from like school and like loans and whatnot. So it helped out. But yeah. So I wound up bringing the cards upstairs, started flipping them on eBay, started to see a lot of like transacting, shipping, handling all this fun stuff, printing, going to the post office. And I started to realize that like, I really just hated cooking. I liked doing stuff on my own. I liked my side hustles. So I wound up dropping out of culinary school, went back home to live with my parents. And as I was doing the online stuff even more, I found an ad from Ty Lopez on YouTube and I bought the SMA course for $9.97, which was like how to start your own social media marketing agency. Bought that. Dove into it, started pitching local businesses in my area. I had about 10 clients at like $250 a month, $200 a month. I was just doing social media management, posting for them, doing boost posts, ads, small stuff, like small scale. And I was making like $2,000 a month. I also had three jobs at the time and I was playing college tennis in business school. That's the only way that I was able to get like a free ride. So while I was doing that, did that for about 3 years. And then I started growing the agency a little bit more, got about 15 clients. Then I decided to move out. Because my dad was like, hey, are you going to pay us rent? Are you going to move out when you're done with college? And I was like, I don't know what I want to do in my life yet. I kind of liked New York, but I couldn't afford New York rent prices. So I decided to basically move out and I moved to Orlando. And then I just went all in on my agency. And then 4.5 years later, this is where we're at now.
Yeah. So how, I'm curious, after you, you know, pulled the trigger on the Ty Lopez course and dove into that, how did you get those first 10 clients? Like, what was your strategy? Was this a new skill that you were learning? What were some challenges that you ran into?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing was I was just door knocking, doing 7-day free trials. Like, that was my offer. I was like, hey, I'll just run your ads for 7 days for free and I'll post for free on social media if you like what you see. Then it's $250 a month after that. And that got a lot of people to say yes, because also I was hungry, man. I just like ran across town. I would run all over the place, knock on barbershops, restaurants, and like the owners would see that I was hungry and they just gave me a chance. I'd probably say I had about 20 people say yes and 15 of them stayed, which is not bad. So, I mean, you know, I did that free trial method for a while. And the only problem was that when I got to about 10 to 15 clients, I couldn't keep doing door knocking. I was too busy fulfilling for the 15 clients that I had. So I couldn't do all that anymore. I started cold calling when I was on my free time and the conversion rates on that were very low because I'm not in person. So then I kind of gave up on like cold calling, even though people to this very day tell me that it's great or it works if you're good at it. I personally think it's bottlenecking and it's not the way that you scale a business. So I was done with cold calling and I was just like, hey, let me keep the clients that I have. And then I started upselling them ad management. And then I was getting them to about $400 a month, $500 a month. And that's really how it took off from there. I did have one client in particular that helped me learn skills as far as like ads, because Ty Lopez's thing was all about just getting clients and doing a little bit of fulfillment, not like the ad side. I was making videos on Instagram at the time and they were like motivational videos for people in college. I was like, hey, like forget college. It sucks. It's stupid. Like do your own thing, side hustle, blah, blah, blah. Kind of like Gary Vee stuff. Well, I started getting a decent following from it, and this brand hit me up to send me apparel. They're like, hey, I want you to make videos with our shirts on and we'll use them for ads. I did that. They wind up crushing. And Greg, who was the owner, he called me. He was in Connecticut at the time. He was like, hey, man, come meet me for lunch. Like, these videos outperform all of our ads. And I was like, ads? What the hell is he talking about? So I meet him for lunch. He shows me all these things in the ads manager, how my videos were getting X, like cost per purchase and all these things. And he wound up hiring me for $4,000 a month. And that was one of the craziest days of my life, was like driving him, because he met me for lunch, but his wife was at the mall across the street. So I dropped him off in my car. And while I'm driving, he sent me a PayPal for $4,000. And I thought it was fake. I was like clicking the PayPal notification on my phone. And what the hell is this? So it was just kind of weird. And then from there, Greg taught me a lot. I feel like we can all agree with this. Like, you always find that one person during your journey that really helps you out and is really willing to like give you a hand when you feel like you're like really behind everybody else. And that was definitely Greg for me. He like was willing to spend money to let me and my friend Troy now learn and like really get in the ropes of running ads and funnels and email and upsells and downsells and like writing good offers and all these things that you really don't get to spend other people's time to learn anymore. Like, people are too frugal about their money. It's hard to really do that. So I kind of had that cool edge when I was first coming up in the game, was getting to spend other people's money to learn. Even though I was giving them a result, I got to like spend other people's money to like learn what was working, what wasn't working, and know how to beat the learning curve.
Yeah. Was there any point in that journey where you felt you're a bit like in over your head, where you're trying to do fulfillment, get new clients, upsell, learn, figure things out? Like, at what point do things start to break?
It started to break at around 25, 30,000 a month. That's where I couldn't fulfill for anybody anymore. I was getting clients for 2-3,000 a month I was working privately with, and I had about 10 of them, but those clients demanded a lot more. At some point, I had to get rid of all the clients who were paying $200 a month. I had to make that switch. And I wound up taking on just bigger fish, and they wanted, you know, full on funnels. They wanted copy. They wanted emails. They wanted all this stuff. And like, doing 10 clients, that's actually a lot of work that people don't realize, like doing 10 landing pages over a 3 weeks time and getting onboarding and doing all the calls and doing all the strategy and doing all the ad scripts and doing all the editing and all of that took a ton of time. And that was where I saw it break. And that's where most entrepreneurs kind of stay, dude. I see that a lot, especially at my events. Mm-hmm. Like, we always have people raise their hand, like, who here is sitting at 10 to 30K a month? And a lot of people who are decent businesses, not crazy big, but they stay stuck there because they have a control problem. They don't know how to hire. They think that everybody's not better than them. They think that, you know, everybody sucks who they hire. Like, they don't understand standards and processes when growing a company, and they're just not good leaders. And that's where I see most people break in their business, is definitely 10 to 30K a month for sure.
Yeah. And I guess it kind of depends, right? Some people are totally comfortable with lifestyle business, right? And they're like, this is great for me, right? But at what point did you start to have to learn new skills as far as like, you know, delegating stuff, hiring people, learning how to be a leader rather than kind of somebody who wears all the hats?
Yeah, I think it was when I realized that like 30K a month wasn't enough money. I know that's a very bold thing to say, but like, some people be like, oh, like 30K a month, so much money. I could live so nicely with it. Yeah. So the problem with 30 grand a month is that literally when you're a 1099 sole prop, depending on what state you live in, half of that money is not even yours anymore. And then you decide to take on all these living expenses. Like, you might get a bigger apartment because you're making 30 grand a month. You can figure, hey, my mortgage could be 4,000 or 5,000 a month. My car could be $1,000 a month. I can eat out every night. I can go to the movies. I can go to concerts. I can spend more money. I have more of a gap. And you take on more living expenses. You start having kids. You do all of this random mumbo jumbo crap, and you realize that you don't have much money left. So like, when I was making 30 grand a month, man, I just spent a lot of money on stupid stuff. Like, I bought watches. I bought a Maserati. I got all the stupid stuff. I took vacations every weekend. I would go to like the Ritz-Carlton every single weekend for 3 days. Like, $500 a night wasn't a lot when I was making $30,000 a month. And I just didn't realize that that would catch up to me. And it did. And then I realized that I had to make more money. And that's when I really had that push where I was like, all right, like, I'm spending all this money. I need to make like 50 grand a month, 70 grand a month to be like really comfortable. And that's what made me have to hire people and build systems. And then the thing I realized was, as soon as I started hiring people, like, I had to get myself off the phones. And that came to hiring sales reps, which, if anybody here is actually listening, like, it is probably the hardest thing to hire is sales reps. Regardless of what you tell me or believe, it is the hardest team to scale in your business other than leadership. Because salespeople have massive egos. Two is they want all the calls that they can't even close or take. They want to take so many calls that they don't want to do follow-up. They also don't want to be a part of the culture and the values and the morals of the company. Most people who just buy a program online all of a sudden now think that they're sales reps when they're not. They're just remote closers who have somewhat of a skill set to close layup of leads. And it's just a very hard thing to hire for. That's why my biggest recommendation was turning setters into closers. If you can get someone to set on the phone and book appointments, they now know the beginning of the sales journey and it's easier for them to become closers because they appreciate the beginning more. If people just go straight to closer, I just haven't seen crazy retention unless I'm like, you know, we do pretty well. I do eight figures a year and higher. I just don't really believe that closers were meant to be closers right off the bat. They have to learn the sales process better in the journey and they're easier to become closers. Either that's through training or daily meetings or whatever the case may be. When they go from a setter to a closer, they're a lot more like high producing closers. And then, you know, the other thing too was like when I was hiring, I had a big ego around it. Like I was like, oh, this person can't do it as well as I can. Like this guy can't make a landing page like I can. This guy can't run an ad like I can. And like, it was tough, dude. That was the biggest thing I had to get past. But yeah, dude, as soon as you hire a team, you realize that now you're feeding other people's families and you have to make more money now. So like, as soon as you start hiring a couple team members, you're like, hey, we can't just stop at 70K a month. Like we have to go higher. Like we have to keep going. Cause now these people want to get bonuses. They want to get incentives. They want to grow in the company. They will find another position. If you're not growing, if we're just stuck at 600 grand a year every year, like no one's excited. No one's got goals. No one's got targets.
Thanks for tuning in. Please don't forget to like and share so we can help more people transform the way they sell.